I like this song a lot. We sing it some. And it talks about the hope of a new day when we get to heaven. It's called What a Day That Will Be. There is coming a day when no heartaches will come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness to spain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be. Amen. Good job. I was kneeling one night at an old-fashioned meeting, praying to God to redeem my poor soul. Then I heard a sweet voice of my Savior calling, and I started that night to make heaven my home. I heard a sweet voice so tenderly calling, saying, arise, be saved evermore. I knew it must be the voice of my Savior, for I had not heard a voice like it before. I'm glad that I heard the voice of my Savior. I know I'm redeemed by his love and his grace. Someday when he calls, I'll go up to heaven, and there in that city I'll look on his face. I heard a sweet voice so tenderly calling, saying, arise, be saved evermore. I knew it must be the voice of my Savior, for I had not heard a voice like it before. Take your Bibles this morning. Let's turn them to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Luke the 17th chapter. Luke chapter 17. Now let me say about tonight. If you come back tonight, I want to give you something. A Bible account. I hate to say story because it's more than a story. It's an account of what something that actually happened in the Bible. But it serves as a really good tool to win somebody to the Lord. Maybe you're dealing with somebody one-on-one that's maybe a little bit self-righteous, a little bit holy,
don't see the need of salvation. And tonight I want to kind of give you some things you can use this particular account in the Bible. It's very simple to take them through and see how a self-righteous person got saved and what it takes for anybody to be saved, self-righteous or otherwise. And so if you come back tonight, we'll have a good time. We'll have a circle of prayer. We'll have some old time singing. And good to have you here. Good to have our good friend up in Lebanon, Sister Betty Titus, a bus kid from South Lebanon years and years ago, still in there serving the Lord. We thank God for her. Luke 17. And I want to begin reading in verse 11. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. It came to pass that as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw when he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Let's pray. Brother Cleo, would you ask God's blessing on the sermon this morning? Amen. Amen. There are two or three things about this passage here that I want us to see this morning. If you look at verse 12, the Bible said that there were 10 men that were lepers. Just that phrase, that part of that, there were 10 men that were lepers. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us they were all lepers. Every one of them were lepers. There weren't 10 men and 7 of them were lepers. They were all lepers. And we know that's a picture of our condition before the Lord found us. That our natural condition in sin is that we're lepers. We are full of sin and need a Savior. So he said they were all had leprosy. If you look down at verse 12, the latter part of that, it said they stood afar off. Every one of them stood afar off. The Lord said before he found us that we were afar off. We were aliens from God and were strangers from the covenants of the promises for Israel. And so that's a picture of you and I. That's a picture of us. We stood afar off. We were separated from God. Brother Cleo and I were talking this morning early about a passage in the scripture where Jesus cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we determined, just thinking about it, that was a picture of not only Jesus suffering for our sin on the cross of Calvary, but a picture of a man who's finally cut off from God in hell and can't pray anymore. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so they all stood afar off. And then look at verse 12 again. The Bible says down here that in verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So far we've established from the scripture that all of these men were lepers. All of them stood far off, and all of them were asking for mercy. But now notice what happened down here. In verse 17 said, and Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? How many of them got cleansed? That asked for mercy. All 10 of them did. They all 10 got mercy. They got saved. They got cleansed. Not 8 of them, not 6 of them. The Bible said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. And so there's. But the sad part about this and the message this morning is that only one came down back. In verse 16, and then he fell down. This one man, and on his face, giving thanks to God. 1 out of 10 came back to give the Lord thanks, but they were all saved. They were all afar off. They were all begging for mercy. They were all lepers, and they all got healed. But one of them came back, just 1 out of 10. That's not a very good percentage. And I want to preach a little while this morning on the sin of unthankfulness. The sin of unthankfulness. Why is it that we're so stinking unthankful? Why is it that we somehow can't bow our knees? We can't give God the glory for what he's done for us. There's something wrong. We'll see what that is in a minute. There are three things I want you to see this morning. There are three things out of this passage that other people want you to see. Number one, what is the cause of unthankfulness? What makes us unthankful? I'm talking about as Christians. What makes us unthankful? Look back at Deuteronomy just a minute, chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This same sin beset the children of Israel. And the Lord dealt with it here. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and down in verse 12, the Lord said, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." One of the causes of unthankfulness is forgetfulness. We forget where God found us. We forget where it was that we were in the shape where him and God found us. And sometimes we'll see why we forget in just a minute. But we forget. One of the ways to keep yourself reminded is get in the Word of God. Read the Bible. God will show you what we used to be before the Lord found us and saved us. But we forget sometimes. And I think another cause of unthankfulness is we're too busy. We are too busy. We're busy with work. Somebody said, "Man, I got a really good perk in my job. I can work from home." That is a good perk. I agree. However, that's got a caveat. That's got a bad place you can go there, because you get all wrapped up in your work at home. You're working when you should be off work, and you're doing this or that and checking emails after work and things like that because you can do it. You're sitting there in your house, and you forget your Bible study. You forget to go to church. You forget to give God the glory. Folks, let me tell you something. If you get too busy to thank God for your salvation, you're too busy this morning, too busy. Amen. Bible said here, we get busy. Sometimes schoolwork for you kids will take you away from thinking about God. I don't think it shows too much on most of the kids. I think that's the other problem they have. They don't have enough schoolwork. But you understand that we get busy. The pleasure things of this life. If you look at the roads now, you wouldn't know that gasoline was clear through the roof because everybody's out driving. I don't know what they're running on, but they're driving on something. Everybody's gone. The resorts are getting full. All that. And that's fine. You take a little vacation. But you get too busy. And one of the things about the latter days is people are running to and fro. And they forget God. And they don't want to think about God. But I'm going to tell you something, neighbor. We better think about him every day, because without God, we'd have nothing. Without Jesus, we'd have no salvation today.
Amen. That's right.
And what is it about us? What is it about Christians that even in church, during invitation time, and God may visit your pew and say, "You know what? I've been good to you. And you ought to go get in that altar and give God some glory and thanks." We hang on like an old sinner would. "I don't know, Lord. I don't. Maybe another time. I'll do it another time." What's wrong with us? We're just so stinking hard-hearted, and we've forgotten the Lord, and we've forgotten what God did for us. And I'll tell you something, brother, we can talk about revival all we want to. We can talk about having revival all we want to. But until we remember the goodness of God, until we get back to the prayer altar, until we get back and saying, "God, I thank you for saving me," we won't have revival. You mark it down. We'll have a meeting. We're not going to have revival, though, without thanksgiving. Our hearts are too cold. Our hearts are too hard. And I'll tell you something. That's a malady that has struck our country and our churches. When we travel full time, you go to a lot of places, and man, I'll tell you something, it's like pulling teeth to get an amen out of anybody. They just will sit there and look like a bump on the log, kind of like some of y'all. You know what I'm talking about? Have a nice day. Come on. This is Brother Dave talking to you. I love you. But we get busy. We get down and we say, I don't have time. Neighbor, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ took time to go to Calvary. He took time to be in Pilate's hall and being beat with a cat of nine tails and a crown of thorns driven in his skull, and they spit on him and mocked him. He took time to lay on that cross. He took time to stay there on that cross that day. He took time because he loved us and wanted to save us. We can't take a few minutes to get on our knees and thank God for what he did for us. There's something wrong with us. The sin of unthankfulness. Here's another reason why we not, that will cause unthankfulness. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 just a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look down, please, at one verse found in verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. The Lord talks about the cause of unthankfulness. And he said we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measure themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. What does that mean? That means that we're not thankful because we compare ourselves and look at what somebody else has had and say, well, I don't have that. What do I have to be thankful for? They got the money, they got the cars, they got the nice clothes, they got the vacation. And I'll tell you something. And you know what that does? That causes us to be covetous. And instead of thanking God for what we got, we're covetous for what somebody else has got. No wonder we're such a train wreck in this world. Bible said here we compare ourselves among ourselves. We'll talk about that a little bit more. You said, I wish you'd preach on heaven. I ain't going to do it. Preach on why some of y'all ain't going there. I'm telling you, the Bible said here, he said, don't compare yourselves among yourselves. And people do that on many levels. People compare preachers, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, here we go. I'm like a dentist, I'm going to drill to somebody's squalls this morning. If the man of God's preaching the truth and preaching the word of God, he may preach loud, he may preach a different way, but the truth is the truth. And God said, he said, buy the truth and sell it not. We ought to stand for the truth. We give money for the truth. We ought to back the truth. And I'll tell you something, brother. God said down here, he's going to raise up all kinds of people. And who he raises up, he does it so he can get all the glory. Amen. When God called me to preach, God has to get all the glory. There ain't nothing good about danger zone. I ain't worth a powder and shot to blow me into hell. But I want to tell you something, brother. I thank God that he still honors his word, no matter who's preaching. Amen. Still honors his word. Compare ourselves among ourselves. I can sing better than they can. No, you can't. I've heard you. If you sing at home, no wonder your dog left home. Just saying. But it's okay. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lambs. Yeah. Compare ourselves among ourselves. Man, this guy, he looked like he can pump iron. Yeah, well, okay. Maybe I need to pump a little more. Maybe you need to use your tongue less. I'm just saying. The Bible said here, compare yourselves among yourselves. You're not wise. God made us different. Thank God for it. We're not robots. When God saved us, he preserved much of our personality. And God will use a man or a woman that will be submitted to him. And it's not about comparing ourselves among ourselves. It's about praying one for another that we might get somebody saved down the road. What Brother Chuck taught us this morning. The cause of unthankfulness, forgetfulness, being too stinking busy. Old people get busy. Don't even go there. I go in our kids' house, you know, and they keep their all their stuff on the refrigerator, this thing. You can't find a refrigerator, even get something to eat because they got notes every place. Soccer, this, you know, this boy says, and that boy says, and dog vaccination. Dog vaccination. Anyway, groom the cat? No. No. You know what I'm talking about? And what's that mean? We're just so busy. And you call somebody up and say, well, how about we come? Well, I don't know. Maybe next week. See me next Thursday. I don't know. But that's not good. We look at our own refrigerator, our own place. We got stuff every place. How do we get so busy? And if you're not careful, that busyness and that comparing ourselves among ourselves, just being lazy, causes us to be unthankful. And neighbor, of all the people in this world that have something to be thankful about, we got a lot to be thankful for. The cause of it. What's the consequences of it? What's the consequence of being unthankful? Well, look at Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Go back to our text verse in just a minute. In Luke 17, and notice down in verse 17. And Jesus answering and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? One of the consequences of unthankfulness is it displeases the Lord. It hurts the Lord in his heart. Because what he did for us, we're not even thankful about it anymore. Don't even show it. And one of the consequences is that there's that coldness of our fellowship with God. There's something about just giving God thanks and giving God the glory and pouring your heart out to Him that brings you close in fellowship with the Lord. And when that's not there, we're cold, and it displeases the Lord. You hear the hurt in Jesus' voice. I cleansed him. Where are the old land? Look at your Bible. Look down at Luke 15, one chapter back, two chapters back. Luke 15. A familiar story about the prodigal son. We're not going to read the whole thing, but I want to read more about the prodigal son's brother. You know the story about the prodigal son who got all his living and went away and spent his money in riotous living? But his dad didn't give up on him. His dad prayed for him. His dad was looking for him. And one day he came home, and they got the fatty calf, and they got the ring, and they got the robe, and they're having a party, and the servants were enjoying the son being back home. Everybody on the plantation was enjoying it except one guy, and that was his own brother. Why was that? Look down at Luke chapter 15 just a minute. And notice down in verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh unto the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out to entreat him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make marry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured the living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said to him, son, thou wast ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet for me that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead, is alive again, was lost and is found. The brother was unthankful for what he had. He said, I never left the plantation. I stayed here and worked, and my brother was out here, and he was just living up the good life and spending your money. And now he comes home having nothing, and you have a party for him, and I got nothing. Suck your spiritual thumb. Change your spiritual diety. And quit being a baby. I'm going to tell you something, friend. That man ought to have been glad he didn't have the scars of that sin in his body. And some of you may never smoke drugs or went out and got in jail and all that stuff. You say, when somebody comes out in the aisle, no dope addict or no heart, if they get saved, we rejoice and shout. What's that all about? That's about one more soul being saved, and you ought to thank God you don't have their scars in your life.
Yeah.
Amen. Lester Roloff said one time, every time this man had a little boy, and he was mean. Imagine that. He was mean. And every time the little boy did something bad, he'd drive a nail in a tree out behind the house. Pretty soon that tree looked like it was blooming nails. One day the little boy repented and got right with the Lord. And his dad said, here's what we're going to do. He said, I want to show you what God just did for you. And the dad took a hammer out there and pulled all those nails out of that tree. He said, the Lord forgave you all your sins, and they'll never be brought up again. And the little boy said, but Daddy, the nails are gone, but there's holes there. I'm going to tell you something. Sin will leave holes. God forgives them. God cleanses it, puts it under the blood. But if that wasn't your lifestyle, if that wasn't it, you ought to give God thanks. You ought to be the first one on the altar. Neighbor, I'm going to tell you something. We ought not to ever be doubtful about somebody to get saved. We ought to be happy for anybody to get saved. But if it's not about us, all we're just on. And after a while, we start complaining. Well, why did you have that party for them? Unthankfulness will cause you to have an empty life. You can't give thanks for God for what He did do for you. You can't give thanks for God for what He has done for you, because your life's empty, because you're just looking at somebody else. And the consequences of unthankfulness is it displeases the Lord, and we have a very empty life. There's something else about it. It is a poor testimony for our children. If you and I are not thankful, and they don't see us being thankful, and they don't see us at home bowing our knee and thanking God for what we have, and don't see us every now and then at church come and follow an old-time altar and give God the glory, you know what we do? Chances are we're going to raise up a bunch of ungrateful children. that are always complaining about what they don't have. Well, I don't have the newest cell phone. That's the least of your worries. I'm taking away the one you got. How about that? I've heard kids say that. There's a new cell phone. I've a price one. You're like $2,000 or $3,000. Are you nuts? And parents will go in debt for that and take God's tithe money. Well, I'll shut up about that. You know what I'm saying? Bratty kid. Boy, I want to preach my sermon so bad. I've got notes on a three-point sermon on bossy women, bratty kids, and bullheaded husbands. And it's a stem winder if God ever lets me preach it. Maybe not. All I'm saying is this. We raise up bratty, self-centered kids that cannot be happy with anything. And the reason is we give them stuff all the time. Just give it to them. I want this new style. I want this new fashion out there. Have you looked at it lately? There's nothing to it. It's all ripped apart. What do you want to wear it for? It's ripped up. Why do you want to wear stuff like that? I want my hair fixed like this. You want what? What? And how much it costs? Well, it's only $200. Right. The Bible said here that sometime when we get that shape and our life is empty, our kids see it, and we raise up a bunch of self-centered brats. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. The greatest thing we can do is raise up kids whose mind and heart set is to help others. To help others. Our kids, thank God for our children. And they're not perfect. They're preacher's kids. Remember that. And Brother Chuck can tell you, preacher's kids are not perfect. Although the congregation thinks they should be. Boy, do you have a shock coming. I'm telling you what. But we have tried to raise them with the mindset that it's not about them. It's about others. I have to say, the other day, where somebody had a hard time, they didn't hardly know them, but the girls got together, cooked up a bunch of food and took over to them. Many of you have done the same thing. Your kids do it. And that's what I'm talking about. But if we don't raise them that way, to make them think that they're the most important thing in the world, I'm the one, the whole universe circles around me. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. The Bible said here, there's an emptiness in your life. But here's the cure for it. I'm not like one of these doctors who say, well, here's what you got. Good luck. No, the Lord gives a cure here. Look down to the piece of Psalm 103. What is the cure for unthankfulness, the sin of unthankfulness? Look at Psalm 103, Psalm 103. And notice down, please, in verse 1. Let's read the first five verses. Psalm 103, the first five verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, that thy youth is renewed like an eagle's. How is it that we can get our thankfulness back? Number one is we start counting our blessings. That's what David's doing. He's counting his blessings. Get in the book. Count your blessings. Look around at what you got. Look around at what God has blessed you with. Salvation. You know, I woke up in the morning. I've been saved since I was 17 years old. By the grace of God. Nothing good about Dave. I just everything good about Jesus. But I woke up the other morning, the first thought on my mind was, thank God, I ain't going to hell. No matter what happens today, no matter what comes my way, I'm not going to hell because the Lord saved me one day. Back there's a teenage boy. But I want to tell you something, folks. If you're here today and you're saved, you got everything to praise God about today. Thank him. Thank him. The Bible said here, count your blessings. Some of you got little blessings sitting on your lap. I know this. I know. But I'll tell you something, at the end of the day, when they finally do go to sleep, if they ever do, and they lay there so sweet and kind, you say, God, thank you for my child. Poor Scott, I almost killed him when he was little. Almost did, not knowingly, almost did. Our first child, I didn't know anything about it. She had to be gone one day. The ladies were doing something at church, and so I said, I'll take care of it. Can you change his diaper? Yeah, no problem. I'd watch her do it once. Well, Sure enough, he needed a change. Wasn't long. And so I'd seen her put powder on the babies. I thought, okay, well, a little powder will help you. A whole bunch will just do you good. I'm fogging the whole place up with powder. The kid's choking. And she comes and says, what are you doing trying to kill the baby? What are you doing on the powder? I didn't know. Just putting powder on. But you know why? He raised up a good young man serving God in his church, living for the Lord, raised good children after him and the grandchildren. I'm going to tell you something. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. Some we got ladies sent here this morning who gave their husbands up during COVID this past year and weren't expecting that. Count your blessings. We've got people here today that are being treated for cancer and things like that. Count your blessings. We got folks here today that maybe have lost their jobs or having a hard time financially. And some of you working, doing pretty good right now. Count your blessings. All I'm saying is this, folks, that doesn't have to be a big deal. God is blesses every day. He blesses with his presence. He blesses with salvation. He gives a family, thank God. He's blesses beyond measure. And we ought to be on our face thanking him for today. Take your Bibles. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Look at verse 5. Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. There's a real simple little verse over here that'll help us with our problem of being unthankful. In Hebrews chapter 13 and down in verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Quit coveting stuff. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It doesn't get any better than that. He said, be content with such things as you have. Now, why is it we're not? Look at the book of Proverbs just a minute. Look at the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 15. Would you get this before we go home today? Proverbs 15. Would you get this? Proverbs chapter 15. Solomon really saw this thing, and he wanted to point out Solomon was the richest man on the earth and the wisest man outside of Jesus Christ on the earth. But he saw something. God let him see something. In Proverbs chapter 15 and down in verse 6, Proverbs 15 and in verse 6, the Bible said, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. You ever been to somebody's house that had a lot of nice stuff, but there was constant turmoil in their family? I have. Look at the same passage, chapter 15. Look down at verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord and great treasure than trouble therewith. Better is a den of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Count your blessings. I've been in a home of people, and you have too, that didn't have much. I've been invited to homes we were out on the road that they didn't have much, but they shared it. I remember over in West Virginia, holding a meeting in a little country church up there, depressed area, coal mines shut down. Just a depressed area. I mean, if you lived there, you'd be so depressed, you'd listen to all your George Jones records twice. But they invited me home. The man had died the previous year in the coal mines. The mine had caved in on him, and they couldn't get him out, and several other men. This was a probably middle-aged lady, and she had a couple, three children there. And so the pastor and I and his family went over. And she said a nice one. You could tell it was just a common house. Everything was pretty threadbare, the couch and the house, you know, was in need of repair since she'd been gone. And so we got ready to eat, and it smelled good. She had some kind of meat and roast or something in the oven and some corn on the cob, and it was good. So I was anxious to eat it. Well, they had a chair available there. And at home, I'm just used to going to my table and sitting down to head of the table. That's my place. So I went and flopped down that chair. And the poor woman, after a while, I could tell that maybe I'd done something I shouldn't have. And finally, I looked at him and said, ma'am, where do you want me to sit? Which I should have asked to begin with. She said, preacher, I'm so sorry. I don't want to offend you. But she said, That's my husband's chair, and I can't let anybody sit it for a while. Would you mind sitting over here? I felt about that high. I said, sure. She served a real good meal, something out of her garden that she'd raised with her own hands. And by at the end of the week, the preacher read my mind and I read his. And I could tell they were hurting. And we took up some money and he saw she got it. They knew they would have nothing. They had nothing. But people like that had the Lord. They were in church every night. They brought visitors. One of the visitors got saved that week. They were happy as a family. They missed their husband and their dad. But what they had, they were blessed with, and they gave God the glory for it. There's a song we sing once in a while. I don't know if I'm singing it or not. The kids always get after me to sing it, and I always sing it wrong. I'll try to do my best. As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, they say I'm not wealthy, but they are so wrong. In my heart, I'm rejoicing. I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I've a roof up above me, a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters. Though the world may not see, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I have a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Let's ask if you come get us ready for the invitation, please. It's about just a minute. Our eyes are closed. I don't know your heart this morning. I don't need to. I know the Lord already knows all of our hearts. And I think it'd be a good time. We've been reminded this morning. I didn't preach anything you didn't already know. I know that. There was nothing new that I had to say today. You had it in your Bible. You've seen it for years. You know it's there. But just like Brother Chuck said this morning in the lesson, it is a reminder. We need to be reminded of the goodness of God. And sister, if you play softly the old hymn that we've had chosen here in just a minute, I'm going to make two things clear to you, and we're going to give the invitation to open the altars up. One is, you may come today and get on your knees here, or sit in this chair, whatever. That's a public declaration that you've got something to thank God about. And what that may do is help somebody else. I can tell you what it'll do. Your children will remember it. If you got kids or grandkids, they'll remember. My parents and my grandparents were thankful people. Secondly, if you're not saved, friend, this was a wonderful illustration of what it means to be saved. A spiritual leper. Nobody wanted them. Nobody. They were unclean. They had to ring a bell hollering, unclean, unclean. But Jesus healed every one of them. They cried out for mercy, and Jesus healed every one of them. Now, they didn't do right by coming down and thanking him. But one did. The old Samaritan did. Would you like to be saved today? Would you like not to have the uncertainty in your heart and your life? Say, am I saved? Not saved? Don't know. What happens to me if I die? What about this? The Bible said, these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. It's about just a minute. Eyes are closed. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask for your hands. I'm asking for your heart and your feet. I'm asking you to do something about it this morning. And child of God, if you need, if your heart is full and you just got some praise and thanksgiving, you want to give God, this is a good time to do it. And somebody might follow you if you come. Lord, I pray now that you forgive us of the sin of unthankfulness. We live in a world that's unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. God, we don't want to be part of that. We don't want to be counted into that. We have much to thank you for, Lord. You said to enter your courts with thanksgiving. Lord, we're in your courts today. We're in your house. And you said to enter our courts with praise and thanksgiving. And I pray, Lord Jesus, as we give this invitation, that folks from all over would just come just for a while, kneel at this old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I want to thank you for the goodness of God. And maybe there's somebody here, Lord, that's not saved. They'd slip out too in the bunch and just come and let us know and say, you know, I'm not sure I'm saved. Could you just show me from the Bible how I can know I'm saved? And we will. Lord, get glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.